John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this spring game preview edition. As with the spring game coming up here on Saturday, we have a special guest. And Luke, we are live on location today.
Yeah, we are. We're here with Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports. Can we say sports or do we have to say men's basketball and football?
You can call me whatever.
I'd say revenue sports, but I know the hockey community would get pretty upset with me.
Yeah, Wally Shaver, of course, the voice of that. Gargi with women's hoops. We broadcast volleyball.
Yep.
And that's our guy Tanner Hoops. But, you can call me voice of the Gophers. Okay. I like that title.
Okay, we'll give you that. All of Gopher Sports. You got that just nailed. So we're excited to have you and talk here. We're here at the Roseville VFW. We've been here before. Ryan and I are both Roseville residents. So we like to support and... support our community. So I guess, Mike, just to get started, you did an episode on Pair and a Spare. We're not going to try to duplicate that.
Yep.
So people should check that out for like all your background and everything. But where I kind of want to just start is you work for Learfield, right? And
correct.
Learfield recently was acquired. We don't have to get into that in much detail, but we hear all this all the time about Learfield this, Learfield that, if you listen to the radio broadcast. What in the heck is Learfield?
Yeah. So Learfield is a sports multimedia company that's really now so multifaceted. Things have changed so much, even with name, image, and likeness. When I first started, actually my first experience with Learfield is in my previous life, I was play-by-play for a year of Iowa women's basketball.
Okay.
That was and they're a Learfield school as well. I did pregame and postgame shows for Iowa football in the late 90s into the early 2000s before I jumped to St. Louis and then here for 20 years. So Learfield and I go back a long way. So it's basically a multimedia company that specializes in broadcast rights. I'll try to make it, because I still now get this question all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I may not even have it totally right in terms of all the background, but in essence, it comes down to this. The University of Minnesota, the University of Iowa, Wisconsin's a Learfield school. There, you know, Illinois, Purdue, there's a bunch in the Big Ten. I think it's almost 200 schools across the country.
Right.
So the athletic department has a choice about radio rights, in-game signage. Some schools will print programs. When I first got to town, we did that, but it just ended up, it's a digital program, now on different things. Now there's the webpage, right? GopherSports.com.
Yes, right.
So those rights, the school could go in-house, and some do that, and then they hire salespeople to go find clients and sponsors and stuff and keep all the money. To be a little bit more consistent with budgets year to year, they can say, we're going to farm those rights out to companies who that is their expertise.
Exactly.
And Learfield is that. So I'll just – this isn't the right number. I don't even know what the number is really, but just for the fun of it, let's say it's $5 million a year. I think it's more than that. But let's say the school will say, well, I can go out – I might make $7 million this year, but I might make $4 million next year. I might make $8 million, you know, because it's up and down.
Yep.
Or I can just go sign a 7-year, $35 million contract and just cash the check and have nothing.
Yeah.
And so a lot of schools choose that, and it's been that way for a long time, and it's a growing industry. And it allows the athletic department to concentrate on the athletics and mm-hmm. not worry about nothing real. I mean, they have say in a lot of stuff,
yeah,
for sure, but they don't have to worry about the well, how many digital impressions is Cub Food, for example, going to get this week? And there's all that stuff, which is new now, right? You can track those kind of things, and clients will say, we love the Gophers, but we also need some return on this investment. How are we going to do it? Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a big chunk of change, and it's through radio ads, it's through program ads, in venue signage, mm-hmm. Impressions over the course. You'll see Gopher Football tweet out the player of the week sponsored by Cub Food, or you know, any number of sponsors, right? Name it. You know, M Health is one of the big sponsors as well. So that's how the money then is made. And some years Learfield makes out really well, and now even in recent years there's been more of a revenue share component to it as well, to lessen risk from both sides. So if there's a huge year, the school doesn't feel like, oh man, we might have missed out on something. And if there's a dip, and there are dips, because some stuff's out of your control. Some of your success on sales is based on how good is the team, right? And on a year you think you're going to be really good, maybe you don't. Or in a year that's a surprise year, Indiana football, for example, made out crazy, I'm sure, last year. And they knew they'd be good, but I don't know if they thought they'd make that much money. And the school might say, ooh, we missed out on a little. We could have, where if you have a little revenue share, it minimizes risk. So if it's a dip, everyone makes a little less. If it's big, then everyone shares in that. And again, if Learfield higher-ups are listening and they say Grimm doesn't know what he's talking about, that could be the case. I think that's the general bones of the operation, though.
So the important stuff is you're the voice of Gopher Sports for Learfield.
Correct. My paycheck is from Learfield.
Yeah.
And for me, I actually have a little side So Learfield, in addition to having almost 200 schools where they produce all of this, they have other aspects. There's a smaller group called the News Ag. So there's a company, a Learfield company called Brownfield, that does agriculture news for basically the entire footprint of the Big Ten, Midwest. They have stations that carry their farm markets and all of that. And then there's a news aspect, and the Minnesota News Network is owned by Learfield, and I'm the sports director of that. So my daily job, Burnsy's always like, you wake up at 3 a.m. every day? I'm like, I do. That's my other role. So I have a double. For a long time, I actually got two paychecks every 2 weeks, one from News Ag and one from Gopher Sports. They have since combined that into two small paychecks into one bigger but yet small paycheck.
Hold on. I want to just state here for the listeners that you're already getting the true Mike Grimm experience. I've gotten to know Grimmer a lot better here over recent years. And he is the king of the tangent, where you'll be talking about one thing and he'll just go off in a completely different direction, which leads me into... We never talked about this a couple weeks ago, but speaking of your sleep schedule, when I heard it for the first time, I think people would kind of struggle to comprehend the way that you go through a 24-hour cycle. I know Luke doesn't know anything about this. So what does a 24-hour sleep schedule look like for Michael Grimm?
To start, I for whatever reason, I'm blessed. I can sleep at any point. Like I can,
turn it on.
If the second this podcast is over and someone said, hey, if you want to take a nap, go ahead, I could fall asleep. I can also wake up and function. Like Mrs. Grimm, if I wake her up, she can be a little grumpy. I'm usually just up and ready to go. I'm a high energetic guy. It's a blessing and a curse in and of itself.
Sure.
So my normal routine, and this is in season, out of season, what have you, is my alarm goes off at 2:45 a.m., and I hit snooze. So then it goes off at 2:55, and if I'm feeling pretty good, I'll get up. If I'm not, I'll snooze one more time and wake up at 3:05. I have a little bit of a home studio that I can do a lot of my work from, which is a lifesaver, because I can just, you know, I'm legit in my pajamas, walk downstairs, go into my studio, and produce the Minnesota News Network Morning Sports, the Sports Wire. We produce a sports feed of cuts that, you know, 50 to 100 stations around Minnesota use. So if, like this morning, somebody was driving in Fergus Falls or International Falls or Thief River Falls.
What do you have against Bidette, Minnesota?
Bidette or Wilmer.
And
they heard Twins cuts.
Yeah.
Those Twins cuts were produced by Mr. Mike Grimm.
There we go.
Like if their local sports guy was going to... do a Twins story and used a cut from Derek Shelton. That was me at 3:30 this morning putting those together onto an FTP site for those affiliates to use. I was out the Vikings today. We're recording on Monday. They have their pre-draft and their first workout newser today. So Justin Jefferson talked for the first time since quarterback signing. So I'm out there. And before I got here, I was out there and I cut up and put 10 cuts on this FTP. So this afternoon, if someone's out and about in minute, and KFAN is an affiliate of that. So Gargi is playing Justin Jefferson cuts for Barrero this afternoon, those most likely came from me.
Now, got it.
He never says thank you enough to you, does he?
He did text me and say we're lucky to have you, which is another inside joke that we told on that, earlier podcast, which goes back to a previous story. So go listen to that if you want. But I would guess 0.1% of anyone knows that is part of my role, and less than that even really cares, right? But that so I wake up early. But because of the home studio situation, I can get the brunt of that morning work done by about 6 or 7 a.m., and then I'm going to go back upstairs and take a nap. I'm at the age that
naps are crucial.
Awesome.
So is a nap a half hour, two hours?
It depends on the rest of the schedule. So like now that the Gopher season is in essence over, so my schedule today, for example, I got done at around 6:15 with the brunt of the morning work. Went back upstairs and slept till 9:30. So I got a nice 3-hour nap.
Look
woke up,
you.
Showered, and went to the Vikings. Yeah. And then hightailed it over here. I'll go home and get a little bit of a walk in for some exercise for a man my age, and that will be the day. In season, it does get a little different. Mondays, no nap time, and Wednesdays, no nap time. It just is a full day. And this isn't a complaint. It's not construction work. I'm not digging ditches.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it comes natural to me, so I feel lucky that way, too. But it like Monday can be a 3:30 in the morning wake up or start your work until a 7 or 8 o'clock at night with some in between, but no naps. Tuesday's a nap day, Thursday, Friday, if I can, a nap day. Friday for football season's a travel day if it's a road game. So I'm not asking for sympathy. A lot of people work a lot of hours.
Yeah, for sure.
In essence, I have two jobs.
And, yeah.
There was a little truth to you got to work two jobs to make a good living nowadays, and that's what I do. So
as growing up as an ag kid, right? I grew up on a farm. So is your competition the Linder Farm Network? You're a direct competitor, because I remember hearing the Linder.
Brownfield's a Linder. The Linders run the Wilmer station, and I have a great relationship with those guys. And Todd, who's their sports director, I go on a podcast of his every Thursday for 20 minutes.
Oh, do you really? Okay.
And we talk Gophers, but other stuff too. Because he knows I cover, or follow the Twins and the Vikes or whoever else. And he and I have, he's so prepared. He has great questions. I love going on every day. But Linder, it's like Badgers Gophers.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A pretty good rivalry.
I was imagining.
It's a pretty good rivalry. But there are times because. There's crossover, right?
Uh-huh.
There's crossover. So the Minnesota News Network is an affiliate of that Linder-owned station. Brownfield has to air on another station.
Yeah, moment, right.
If you follow.
So I'm following.
It happens. But, yes, that is part of it. And you're all fighting for the same ag dollars, too, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
In fact, everybody. Minnesota News Network wants a piece. Brownfield wants a piece. Linder wants a piece. Gophers want a piece because we all hit farmers. With various points of the day.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about agriculture in general. So I'll give you a little bit of a backstory of how I got into Gopher football. And, I grew up on a farm, right?
Yep.
I was driving tractors at way too young of an age. We won't say because we don't want to get my dad in any trouble here. But it might have been that I could just about reach the pedals when I was sitting, right? And that's not unique to people out that direction.
Totally normal.
And a lot of my Saturdays I really looked forward to because, one, your form of entertainment at the time, there were no cell phones, right, was the radio. So you were subjected to whatever you had. And I would look forward to Saturdays and, the days of Ray Christensen.
Yep.
That's when I really started, getting into Gopher football and enjoying that and trying to visualize what I was seeing, right? I did not watch a lot of Gopher football games probably until I was in junior high or high school, right? Then I got a chance to kind of actually see them on TV or when I would go in person. But I know I speak for many of our listeners because we hear from them. And the fact that what you do is really important because there are so many people that are out on Saturdays getting work done because you have a finite season.
Yeah.
And from them, I think the thing I want to say is thank you. It's so fun. It's fun to see how TV has grown exponentially in terms of the dollars that it can generate. But radio is still king to the ag community.
Yeah. Well, I think there's no question about that. And you're right. I think in the priority level, radio is trying to find its shelf as to where it is. It's certainly not on the top shelf like it once was.
No, right.
You know, but there's still a spot on some shelf. And it obviously has a place. I'm always amazed, even on non-game days. Just even last Saturday, I was out running some errands. The roads were worse than a weekday. Everyone's out on Saturday listening to radio, doing whatever, right? And so there's no doubt about that. Football season falls in harvest season.
Yep.
I would say, just in feedback, you know, outside of the biggest feedback I get is the movie quote through the power trip, right?
Yeah.
That's like the Gophers could beat Wisconsin. But some guy in Wilmer is like, hey, great job on the movie line. And I'm like, yeah, what about the game? Yeah, that was good too. But I would say outside of that, the biggest feedback or the biggest thing I get is people in tractors or combines because it's, you know, through that harvest season, beans, corn, all the way through, and deer hunters.
You know,
the deer opener always falls.
We really got this covered on the podcast between you and me, man.
You have the exact demographic you're looking to hit, right?
Yeah, here we go.
The ag community and the hunting community.
And so we hear a lot about that. The Penn State game, which is my favorite game as a broadcaster, the 2019 game, I want to say that was either the opening week or week two of the deer season.
It was opening weekend.
And I had so many people saying they were in the deer stands trying to, with their earbuds, trying to keep it low enough not to scare Bambi away. Right?
I've done that before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so many people. Dick Bramer, the voice of the Twins, texted me and he's like, I'm in my deer stand listening to you. Awesome game. I forget exactly what it was. And that, you know, that's kind of fun when you hear from, you know, a legendary broadcaster, a fellow broadcaster. And and he's hunting deer, but he's listening to the Gophers. And, you know, he did all those Gopher games in basketball
for years
on MSC. So he's a Gopher guy too, and you know, I'll see him at various things, but deer hunters, farmers, and I try to make a point as we hit the harvest season to call them out, Daryl too, and sometimes we'll say, hey, tweet us your pictures.
Yeah.
And so they're out in the farm and they'll tag us, and so I'll retweet it, and I don't know if much gives me more, and it's not because of that I'm doing the game. I'm just lucky to be in the position to be that conduit. But I don't know if anything gives me a little more satisfaction than seeing somebody tweet out a picture with the corn coming out the chute into the wagon, and Daryl and Grimmer were out combining, listening to the Gophers play whoever.
Yeah.
It's just, there's just something that is totally American about that, right?
Yeah,
totally
for sure.
Awesome. And so, in fact, there's been games where I'm driving home in the heart of harvest season, and even if the Gophers have won, I might be a little disappointed because I'm, oh, man, I forgot to shout out everyone that's out in the fields. I really do. I try to make it a point. My dad was a seed corn salesman. I did not grow up on a farm. He did.
Yeah.
And he was a salesman. When I was young, he sold silos.
Sure.
And then silos became obsolete, so he went to seed corn sales. So I've been to so many field days and carried so many bags of corn and helped my dad put signs for Hills, the company that he worked for, along roads. We'd crawl through ditches to put these signs up. So I understand. I mean, I grew up in a town of 4,500 people in Iowa. Outside of town, not on a farm, but outside of town on an acre. And now, while I wasn't driving tractors, I was driving lawn tractors. Like, I consider myself a good driver mostly because I'm driving a three-wheeler when I'm 10 years old.
Exactly.
And you learn how to steer. You're driving on ice, and you learn how to correct.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we could go through a grimmer tangent here. It could be, you know, sometimes the accelerator is better than the brake.
Oh,
but
for
you
sure.
You don't learn that because instinctively you think you should slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
That's not always the case.
Yeah.
An accelerator can take you right out of a tailspin, folks.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You don't learn that unless you're on a three-wheeler or a track or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And when you're nine years old.
It's trial and error,
man. It's trial and error. And you might roll the three-wheeler over the top of you and get in trouble.
Yeah,
but
I think
it happens.
I think the thing that people don't probably understand and I think it's getting lost a little bit, is like, yeah, we all want the team to win. That's really important. And that obviously makes it more fun. But if you take it from the perspective of the kid that's trying to kill the 8 or 9 hours that they're going to chop stocks or dig or whatever they're doing, they're running the grain cart, those three and a half hours that you're broadcasting are gold. Like those are the hours you're looking forward to.
Correct.
And I think that is too often lost today, just in athletics in general, right? It's about the experience as a whole and how we come together and all that. And you play a huge role in that. Like you would feel to, I can speak for my dad, for example, but he would consider you like a good friend, knowing all those games that you guys have gone through together. And you don't know him at all.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that was an adjustment for me when I first got into radio, because the whole point, if you have good ratings, whether you're a morning show, afternoon show, and again, this isn't about, I'm in a position that allows me to do this, so I'm not trying to say, well, I'm doing this, so I'm awesome. It puts you in a spot that Gopher fans are either, you know, you're not going to be for everybody, but for those that kind of like who you are, you do become their friend, and it's that connection. So it was disarming to me early in my radio career. I'd be out somewhere, even at an appearance, and people come up to you and just start talking and sharing information.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know you.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
Like, hold it a second. Like, okay, hey, hang on there a second, fella. Yeah. And then it took me a little bit, and I'm like, actually, I wasn't offended, but it would disarm me. I'm like, oh, wow,
this guy.
Like, I don't know this guy. And then it became, I'm like, you know what? The connection, the whole point is you try to draw a connection, you bring him in. Occasionally there's some, you know, inside, like I try not to get too many inside jokes, you know, Guardsy and I will joke, but pretty soon the family starts getting it. So if you have a good group of listeners, it's no different than a podcast or whatever, create these themes week to week, and people are in on the joke, or in on the story, or in on the bit, or whatever, and you connect. Mm-hmm. And that connection is great. So it took me a minute, and now, of course, I welcome it. People come up at the coach's show and they start talking like, hey, I did this, or this is my son, and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, that's not – it shouldn't disarm you or alarm you or make you uncomfortable. This is – you've created exactly what the goal is to bring somebody into your – you know, as PA would say, into your covenant.
Sure. Yes.
And now you've connected. Like you say, you're friends.
Yeah.
Even though you're not. And I've, on the flip side, I have met a lot of people now through radio that are also on the radio and have listened. First time you meet them, I'm on the other end of that now. I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, PA.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're my friend because I listen all the time. Or you, you know. And so you feel, you start the conversation, you know, not at the start line. You're on lap 3 or 4 because you feel like you've been through it and you've got a common connection, whether it's the Gophers or radio or what have you. So it's interesting you bring it up that way, that someone can be your friend even if you've never met them.
Right.
And it took me a minute to kind of adjust to that. Now, it's been many years where it's enjoyable. That's the whole point. And there's it's how you create this connection, and hopefully
sense of community that
it
I
is.
Think,
yeah.
especially
it,
in this
it,
day
it
and age,
is. Right.
It gets harder and harder when we become all more technology driven, and again, just to be able to have that sense of community. Now, one of the people that you've spent a lot of time with in that booth, is Darryl Thompson.
Oh man,
someone that. Again, for me, he's on my Mount Rushmore of Gopher running backs. It's him, Maroney, Barber, and then Muhammad Ibrahim.
Yeah.
Now, I've gotten to know DT more and more every year. He is a fascinating individual. He has so many different – he can go off on so many different things.
Yeah.
But when you think about Darryl Thompson, what are some immediate things that come to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is what he has done for the community after his playing days.
Yes.
I mean, you're right. He's Mount Rushmore. Up until Muhammad Ibrahim showed up, he was the all-time leading rusher. I had Mo on my podcast. He talked to all of us last week, and I carried over some of that.
And what's that called again, Grimmer?
That's the Go Gopher podcast with
so
Mike.
So glad that came up organic.
Yeah, very organic.
I like that.
Where for many years I would start my broadcast when I introduced Darryl is along with the all-time leading rusher in Gopher history, Darryl Thompson. I'm Mike Grimm. And I joked with Mo in that podcast. I'm like, well, for the last couple of years I haven't been able to say that. And we joked with Darryl for a while that now with the second all-time leading rusher.
Sure.
But So aside from all the accomplishments and his time with the Packers and all of that stuff, and he's just a great storyteller, what he's done with Boulder Options, both here in the Twin Cities and in Rochester, helping at-risk kids who need some help and creating mentorship through physical fitness and through just unique events that either he hosts or that the mentor and the mentee, whether it's going to a Twins game or whether it's we're going to go on a bike ride every week or whatever, and just showing some guidance. Some of the stories that that we've told, and I've had Daryl tell this story a few times. I'll share it real quick. He had an open house. He has an open house at the headquarters in Minneapolis every spring. And so last spring we're there, and there's a lot. You know, Joel Maturi's there, and a bunch of good people. And as I'm driving up, there's a fire truck right in front, lights going, paramedics running around, and I'm like, oh boy, what's going on here? So it turns out there was a medical emergency at the little apartment. There was a duplex kind of apartment next door, and they're attending to somebody. And when that gets done, we're standing there, and a firefighter walks up to Daryl, and he's like, are you Daryl Thompson? He's like, yeah. And we're thinking, I remember you for the Gophers. And he's like, is this where Boulder Options is headquartered now? And I'm paraphrasing a little. I'm trying to, as you get old, the memory gets a little foggy. Yeah. But it's something like this. And he says, is this where Boulder Options is now? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I was a mentee. I was in this program like 26 years ago. I was headed the wrong way. Now I've been a fireman and a paramedic for whatever years. And they hugged. And Daryl remembered him once the memory jogged. And I'm like, that's the whole – think about that. Just that one story right there. And there's hundreds of those a year, really. So anyway, that's the first thing I think of. There's not a more – it's one of the great pleasures I've had. There's a few things over the time of my time here where I just feel so lucky and fortunate. And getting to call him a friend and to get to hang out with him on Fridays, nights before games, those road games, those meals, we call them fellowship. I dubbed it fellowship years ago, and Gardzi, of course, picks up on it. And you think I'm a guy who is redundant on his one-liners. Gardzi will just take something and go. And so those Friday nights with DT and the rest of the crew and some others from the communication staff, and Burnsy, you've been involved in those dinners where we'll find a local place the night before a game, and it's kind of the one last relaxation before the heavy stuff hits the next day with a game. And we all have a job to do the next day, so let's enjoy it the night before with some good food and fellowship, as we like to call it. So there's just not a better guy. He just always has good intentions, and so that has been one of my greatest thrills. And he's become not just a colleague. We talk often, we text often. Whenever I get the chance, I do have a busy schedule. Whenever I get the chance to go to some of those events for Boulder Options and try to spread the word the best I can, I will. Mm-hmm. And he's just a beautiful person, and a beautiful family. I mean, the whole family's great.
All right, so let's maybe get into, because we have the spring game coming, and you talked about you have the meal before game days.
Yeah.
You did talk about some of your preparation that goes into games. Obviously, a spring game is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You have to know one team, but you have to know the entire team.
Yeah.
Right? So what's prep look like this week for you?
Yeah, I'm going to take some of Gardzi's advice, because we haven't had a spring game broadcast or a spring game in general for, what is it, 3 years now?
It's got to be like 2022.
Yeah. So that has actually made the spring a little less stressful. And this is just how I prepare. I just like to be over-prepared. So sometimes, and Burnsy's talked about this, info in the spring is sometimes harder to get because there are new players. Coaches love to keep stuff secret. And even I believe, I believe I have a great relationship with PJ. I think he'd say the same. We trust each other. He trusts me. There's a certain amount of trust that you have to have when you're in my position that the coach has to have if he's going to share info with you. And I understand all of that. But the info is hard to get. And so Friday will be on a regular season game. I'm starting prep on Tuesday of game week. Mondays I don't devote at all. It's still a busy day. I go to the Vikings on that day, the day after deal. Sure. And do some other stuff for MNN, and but I totally ignore the Gophers on Monday. Then Tuesday, it's the press conference, it's the coaches show, it's the game notes come out, all of that stuff. You start studying, and then you get into it. I'm not doing any of that this week. It'll all be on Friday. I don't even the bigger thing is I get my boards prepared, and this has always been a challenge in the spring, was There's the usually it's gold shirts and maroon shirts or white and maroon or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't a lot of times they don't know who's playing and who's not playing and who's healthy right. and who's not healthy until Friday of the week
day before.
Of the game.
Correct.
And sometimes even within the game, there's been times where the right tackle for the gold team is now the right tackle as well for the maroon right. team or whatever. Mm. And so that becomes a little tricky. But
right.
I'm a preparer. I'm a stickler. I just feel like I'm driving without a seatbelt if I don't have some info. And so I think that's where Gardsy, he's like, dude, let's just do a talk show. Let's do this. And to which so here's my shot at Gardsy across the bow, to which I say, that'd be fine. But let's do some creative stuff. Why don't you talk to PJ in-game? I think PJ's willing. Ooh, I don't know about that. Well, okay. Then we're going to have a play-by-play broadcast, Gardsy, you know? So it is what it is. I actually, the greatest spring game broadcast moment ever, it was my idea, of course, but Gardsy executed it perfectly. Matt Limegrover was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And so we're in the spring game. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if Gardsy went into the coach's booth and actually put the mic in front of Matt's face and heard the play call? The actual, like, you know, Z, Y, whatever the, you know, whatever, the, I don't know how they call it. Z, Y, fly, yep. X1,
whatever
you know,
it is.
Out
yep,
the gate,
vernacular.
Whatever it is, sure. right? And then I'll call the play and we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah.
And Limegrover, who is one of the all-time great people, says, oh, that's, yeah, come on up third quarter. So Gardsy's up there. And so sure enough, I'm like, we're going to go next door. Literally, their booth is right next to ours. Gardsy's over there. I'm here with Matt Limegrover, and him and Jim Zabrowski are ready to call the play. And so put it up, and here's the play call. It's like, you know, whatever, ZXY in reverse.
Yeah, right, right.
That wasn't it, but whatever yeah, yeah. it was. And so I'm like, okay. And then he says, okay, we're going to try to get the defensive end. He tells Gardsy, we're trying to get the defensive end to suck in. This is a counter reverse play. I believe KJ Mayer, so I'm making
sure.
that note. But whoever yep. it was a little end around, basically.
Yeah, for
fancy
sure.
way of saying it was going to be an end around.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, let's see what it is. Snap to Philip Nelson, whoever it was, and hand off on the end around, and they totally suck the defensive end up. We kept the mic on, and you can hear Limegrover as I'm calling it, you know, turning the corner. He goes, we got him. We got him. We got him. And it's like that. Like, you would never do that in a regular
right.
season game, but what a great spring game moment. So, yeah. Gardsy, we need more of that. We need more of that. Otherwise, you're stuck with me calling, you know, the third string quarterback throwing to the fifth string receiver at about 12:50 on
right,
Saturday.
Right, right. And yeah, exactly.
Gardsy will not engage with any of what I've just challenged him with, by the way.
No, I don't doubt that. Now, what you also brought with you, your boards here, which yeah. we'll tweet out
so
a picture
are,
out
these
of.
Are from the bowl game.
We should put pictures on Gopher Illustrated and
we
tweet
will.
Them. Yeah, yep. yeah. These are great.
Of these color-coded, and again, it's I'm staring at it here. Grimmer, you spent a lot of time on these. What are the rhymes and the reasons to, again,
yeah.
what's big, what's highlighted, what is important for you to know as someone who's got to be on the spot come Saturday?
Yeah, and I would say there's no right way. I would say I probably do put too much into these in terms of work. Like, of all the stuff that I write on all of these, I'm going to say 10% hits the air, maybe 15%.
Sure.
But I just feel better about going to a game having that. And obviously there's stuff that you get hit with that you don't know.
Yep.
And I always watch the game back on TV, mostly to just rewatch it. Because when you're doing a live game and you think you see what you saw, there's a few times where then you're watching it back like, oh, that's not how I remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that more as I get older. It's not quite how I remember it. And then sometimes the TV people will come up with something and it pisses you off because you're like, oh, man, I wish
yeah.
I had done that. But then there's other times in a game where it just so happened we're all over. Like, I've got a great spotter, David Leatherman, for my home games, Mike Ritter on the road oftentimes, and they'll find or spot stuff, or I'll see something, and because I've put all this work in, it'll hit, and it's the right time to say something, and we're all over something. And then I'll watch the TV broadcast back, and they look lost. And so sometimes you're like,
yeah.
okay, we got you on that one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's not a competition, but sometimes you want to be ready. And so there's a lot of prep that goes in. Lots of stats, lots of history on guys. This is from New Mexico. And it just is a setup. You know, people will see the pictures, but basically it's set up like the formation. So you got the offensive line in the middle, the receivers on the outside, running backs in the backfield, quarterback with all their stats. And a lot of guys now with technology, they will do this digitally. Like
yeah.
Corey Provis does games on BTN,
oh,
basketball
yeah, yeah.
especially. It's all – now, he fills it all in, but he types
it. He does
it.
It, types it, yeah.
I'm still old school to where it's
yeah.
I'm still old school to where it's a situation – when I write it out, I remember it better.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
A lot of times, particularly in basketball, more than football, I'll write out all the stuff. And then when it happens in the game, I don't even have to reference the notes. I just remember it because I've written it down.
Yeah, because you've written it out.
Yeah. And basketball is a totally different prep than football. So football is a week-long thing. This is how I think I might have mentioned this with you guys.
Yeah.
I treat the football game like it's a semester final
exam. Sure.
We just have 12 in a row.
Yeah.
So starting on Tuesday through Saturday, I'm studying for that final exam, and then I hope the broadcast gets a passing grade.
Yeah, right.
In basketball, because there's more of them and there's less prep time and it's just different, I call those 30 pop quizzes.
Sure.
So while it's Tuesday through Saturday in football, and there's something every day I'm doing to get ready for the football broadcast, and none of it's hard. I mean, it just takes time.
Yeah.
It just is tedious sometimes.
You're downloading it, basically.
And I'm doing what some fans would think would be great. Like usually on Thursday night, if the Gophers are playing Purdue on Saturday, Thursday night I'm watching last week's Purdue-Nebraska game to get an idea about Purdue. But I'm watching it in a different way than a Gopher fan.
For sure.
I'm watching it to look at how does a running back run so I can identify him when he gets a handoff. Because nowadays, the pair and a spare, it's pair and three. There's three or four.
They rotate
how they run, their body build, receivers, there's five or six receivers, and they all now wear single digits. So is that a six? Is that an eight? Is that a zero? It's hard to know, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to – like there were some times where I'm like, I'd have to write a note down because zero and eight can look alike. And it's like, this guy's got his socks pulled up. Guy's got his socks pulled up. I'll look down. Okay, that's Smith, you know.
I guess I had never thought about that when he watches a game,
he
being Mike Grimm, he's watching the game the way that you and I watch a game, but it's just so different for the things you're looking for.
Well, an example might be is I think before every play I count the box for the Gopher offense for the Gopher offense because I'm like, well, if they're an advantageous box, they're going to run almost always, you know.
Now you're just getting me agitated with the amount of times they've been running to even boxes,
I'm just watching the ball. I'm setting the formation, you know, and whatever. The other thing, the reason I'll watch a game for the upcoming opponent from a previous week is as you know, we don't have a lot of – so, to further the scenario, we're playing Purdue, let's say, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the Purdue-Nebraska game from the week before to learn about Purdue. We don't have – we have the game notes, 50 pages of stuff, and I'll sift through that and take notes out of that and get to where I get the stats and all of that. And it's much easier to prepare for a college game. Like some of these guys that do high school games, right, there's not 50 pages of game notes and you're trying to find
– even
and
finding
you
stats
follow
recruiting from the
just to, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky in that sense that there's ample ways. And as part of my prep on Thursdays this is another grimmer tangent here. On Thursdays, I will go if playing Purdue, then I'll do the temporary $5 subscription to the Lafayette News Journal and print out everything from that week.
Sure.
I go to the Indy Star, print out every Purdue story from that week,
and then it's all highlighted. I know it.
Yes, and read it on Friday, Saturday. Put incorporate it onto my boards, and then inevitably 30 days later, forget to cancel it and get a $19.99 bill from the Indy Star on my credit card.
I think
card,
I need to build you an app, man.
What's
I need to build you an app for that.
That would be amazing.
To unsubscribe.
It'd be amazing. Now the NFL teams they just send out clips.
Yeah, for sure.
That hasn't hit college yet. But anyway, that's part of the prep. But the other thing is because the access is limited, the TV announcers have their long meetings on
Fridays.
I can glean a whole bunch of stuff from what TV says about Purdue.
Sure.
And then the other thing is I like to watch. Sometimes I'll watch two games if I have time, the previous two.
Yeah.
And if there's something that happens in that game, and I do, there's certain things that just, I have a good memory. And so I can remember stuff. And sometimes something will hit. And I'm like, well, that's like last week. They had a third and two and whatever. You know, he had a big catch then. He's got a big catch here. And the Gophers will have to stop it or whatever. So that's part of why you want background. And watch the previous week's game. So is that 3 hours really hard? No, but it's 3 hours out of a week that I'm already doing two jobs, right? So it takes some time, and that's why naps are important. And I go to they allow me to come to practice on Wednesdays, and then after that practice, we interview two players for our pregame show. Guardsy interviews one, I interview one, and that's where the pregame interviews come. Sometimes I'll interview two if the you know depending on what happened the week before it might work. And again, how many Gopher fans would love to watch practice on Wednesday?
Oh,
that's another 3 hours out of your workday, right? Mm-hmm. And then Friday I go to practice, and that's another couple of hours. And so pretty soon you start adding it up, and it's it takes some time. And then Friday, I like to say, the hay, most of the hay's in the barn Friday night. And then Saturday at the stadium, I do probably about 60 minutes of last minute. I'll go through the articles I printed out, and then that's when I start adding. Because I have also found if I do it too early, I do there is a lack of recall.
Yeah.
So I wait.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why basketball, the recall in basketball is much quicker, because I do it the day of the game.
Yeah.
Like if there's a 7 o'clock game at Williams Arena, I'm at the barn at 11 a.m. and just for 5 straight hours just bang out ready for this pop quiz, where with a football game, it's more of a longer marathon. Yeah.
So one thing that I'm curious about is, like, people that listen to this podcast know that I struggle to pronounce last names.
Yeah.
And like where you get a quarterback change, like the Michigan State game, I think it was Alessio. Yeah. I can't remember. It was
Milosevic or something.
Milosevic or Milosevic.
I don't even know
or
if that's right, but yeah.
How do you know how to pronounce these names? Or are you just guessing?
No. So usually, and they've gotten better in recent years, usually there's a pronunciation guide.
Oh, sure. On the websites. Yeah.
So if you look at my notes here, I write it out phonetically. So
look
at the left tackle there for
I see that.
North or for New Mexico.
Yeah.
So now that said, sometimes like I another inside story here. I consider myself a highly trained expert on phonetics, radio wise. So Paul Rovnak, the Gopher Sports Communications guy, he and I, like in July, he'll text me and say, "Hey, what is a good week for you to come in and help me with phonetics?" Not saying he needs help, but he and I then hammer out our own phonetics. And even if it's any question of whether a guy, an announcer might need it. So I believe that Rovnak and I have the best pronunciation guide in the country.
Yeah.
You're not
exaggerating.
I believe that to be the case. And Rovnak has said that TV guys have said, "Man, that's quite the pronunciation guide."
Yeah.
You know, and phonetically it's proper.
Yeah.
Because, like, phonetically, someone, like if the name is Bauman, say B-O, so bow, how do you say that? B-O-W. But somebody could look at that and might think it's bow.
Yeah.
B-O-W. But bow phonetically should be B-O-H, bow, dash, whatever. So we do it right, and that's how it works. But there's sometimes the confusion. Sometimes it's so hard you just say rhymes with something, right, in parentheses. But that's how, to answer that the long answer to your question, that's usually how you go through the phonetics. There are some times where the phonetics aren't clear, and I know this guy's going to play. I'll literally type into a Google and say, you know, Ryan Burns highlights, and then I'll go back and try to listen to how the TV announcer has said it. And sometimes there'll be 3 or 4 different broadcasts and 2 or 3 different pronunciations, and you still don't know.
Well, I mean, there was the one with Cal quarterback, right?
Yeah, JKS.
Yeah, like that was a tough one.
So there was a San Francisco station that actually
released
had him
a
on,
clip,
right? And there was a whole clip on it. And they actually had like a language expert from his school come in and talk about it.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, I'm going to take my shot across the table now at Burnsy, who still calls him Muhammad Ibrahim, which is not how you say his name, or Ibrahim, or whatever.
I brutalize that.
It's Muhammad Ibrahim. Yeah. But you know how it works. He's given me the side eyes now across the table. And sometimes, here's a great story. Remember Troy Stoudemire?
Yeah.
Okay. He was all-time leading
kick returner.
Kick returner yardage-wise for the Gophers. And so for 3.5 years, we all called him Troy Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Now he's about to break the record. Andy Seeley was the sports information communications guy at the time. I'm like, "Hey, we should interview him." Yeah, let me call him. So I'm in his office. He calls him, and it hits voicemail. And Troy says, "You've reached the voicemail of Troy Stoudemire."
So many years, and I'm like, never knew.
And we both look at each other like, huh?
Yeah.
So we set up the interview. He ends up, you know, we set the interview up. And I ask him, I'm like, "Is it really Stoudemire?" He's like, yeah. I'm like, "We've been saying, everyone says Stoudemire." I didn't want to.
Whatever.
It's your name, bud.
So now I'm like, well, if you're going to break the all-time record, I'm going to say your name right. I'm going to say this was like 3 games left in his career maybe. So I start
saying. And then you switch.
I start saying Stoudemire.
Yeah.
And guess what? Everyone's like, "The Gopher guy doesn't even know how to pronounce his own guy's name."
Yeah.
Like, no, this is really how you pronounce it. So there are some weird ones that way, too.
Well, yeah, for sure. Okay, just last couple observations on this. really respect your use of capital letters. You do that really, really well. I'm a capital letter guy. I'm just assuming, but I'd like to know just for our listeners, like the highlighting, is that primarily just to call attention to it, or what is the highlighting?
Okay. Yeah, to see it easy. And it also quickly, I mean, it really doesn't help me that much, but it.
Yeah.
So these boards, when people see the pictures, this is of the bowl game. So if you took off this top layer, it'd be the Wisconsin. I just tape
over. Sure, you just tape over. Yeah, that makes sense.
So. Like the Wisconsin, so this is at least back to back. Where for the opponent, it's red with pink highlighting because I do school colors. So Wisconsin's red.
Oh sure.
I don't know who was it. Northwestern, was that the week before?
Yeah.
So that's purple with purple highlighting, and then on Michigan State, green with green, and
that makes
on down
sense.
The right. And so it's quickly an easy way to identify. And then another like in-house secret. So I mentioned my spotters, David Leatherman at home. My entire 11 years now doing Gopher football as a play-by-play. He is. I don't think he's missed but one or two games. And so I for the Gophers, I quickly can identify who has the ball, who catches. But for the other team, it's harder. And tackling, even with the Gophers, sometimes it's hard. So he will immediately point to who made the tackle. That is his main job. And there, if you listen to radio broadcast, TV for sure. Now, TV you can see, so there's less of it. But I'm old school, way back in the day. Like you listen to Wayne Larrivee, right, with the Packers. I think he's one of the all-time great radio guys, like textbook radio.
Yeah.
Formation, down distance, here's a handoff. How much did he gain? Who made the tackle?
Yeah.
Which not everyone does. I'm a stickler. I want to say who made the tackle the time.
Yeah.
And then what's that leave you? So the formatic is, you know, whatever. Pistol formation, two to the right. Sometimes if there's time, I'll mention who's there. But otherwise, it's two to receivers to the right, double tights to the left, blah, blah, blah. Darius Taylor is the running back. Hand off to him, pounds right side, gain a 3 to the 38.
Yeah.
Bring up a second and 8, tackle made by Joe Blow.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I see that, but usually I'm looking down and David Leatherman's pointing to Joe Blow.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how I get it.
That's okay.
One of my great things of pride was when Blake Cashman had his 20 tackle game, or was it 19, whatever it was, 19 or 20 tackles. And Corbu Status, who's now the voice of St. Thomas, was our he was the women's basketball guy before Guardsy, and then he did our halftime and did some pregame stuff. And he's like, I think it'd be cool. This guy was Big Ten Player of the Week. I'm going to go back. So he went through the whole broadcast and wanted to put string together every tackle.
All the tackles,
And I'm like, phew, I hope I got them all. Because sometimes, I promise there are radio crews that wouldn't have it. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong.
No,
some people
it's stylistic. Okay,
but just old school broadcast, that's the format I grew up listening to and followed. And I think every tackle was cited. And so it sounded kind of cool because it was like, stop made by Cashman, Blake Cashman. And at one point when it got close, we're like, that's his 20th tackle, you know. So we nailed them all.
Yeah,
we got them
that's
all.
Awesome.
So I'm like, tip of the cap, right? I mean, that is my goal. Mm-hmm. I've joked about it, but I'm like, I would love, I want to be as accurate as I can. Sometimes I'll correct myself, and I've had people in radio say, you should, no one, like to gain a 3.
Yeah.
And if you watch, the Big Ten refs really struggle spotting the ball. Like, seriously, the last
it's actually bad.
It's gotten worse because the alignment of how they do it has changed. They used to have the head linesman and the linesman, I think, are the two guys. They would track. Well, now they stay at the line of scrimmage to watch certain things. So they've changed the duties of those guys.
Yeah,
and then as soon as the ball's done, they have to now sprint down 6 or 8 yards sometimes, or 3 or 4, and spot it. And from where we have a way better view than they do.
Yeah, of course.
Now, based on that.
Yeah.
So there are times right away where I see the guy fall to the 38, and I'll say it's a 38-yard line, gain a 4. And then all of a sudden they spot the ball, and it's like, and I'll correct it. I'll say, well, they spot it now at the 39. It's now.
Yeah.
And people say, well, it sounds like you made a mistake. I don't care about that. My real goal is if someone listened to the game and was keeping stats solely on the broadcast, would they get most of the tackles right?
Yeah.
And would they be pretty close to the yardage?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope, and that's why I correct it.
Yeah.
There are some guys who will just say, well, I was just going to leave that because it sounds.
Yeah.
And I don't. One, it was the ref who made the mistake. I had the spot right. He missed it by a yard, is what I say to myself. But officially, that's that. So anyway, that's the old school nature of me and the. you know, OC, what is it, OCD or whatever of it, yeah.
Yeah, you like to cover your bases. Now, I'm...
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.com. US for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Well, none of us are going to pretend to be Daniel House, and we'll get House on the podcast next week to break down everything him and I learned from the Gopher spring game, from Gopher practices that we've been at. But I know that I've stood next to Grimmer at, I think, three of these that the media has been allowed to go to. So when you start to look forward to Saturday, I guess let's start on the offensive side of the ball. I would highly doubt that Darius Taylor is going to play in this game. Yeah. He's of too much value. But when you look at some of the things that you're going to try to glean offensively, at least from the spring game, what comes to mind?
Well, I think a couple of position groups. The offensive line has to be better, I think, than last year. I think they were okay. I don't think they were a disaster last year, but I also don't think they were excellent. And I think if you're going to play the style of offense that Minnesota wants to play, you need excellent offensive line play. Mm-hmm. So it's not a obviously finished product at this point. I don't think – obviously, Greg Johnson's not going to play. He's
their best offensive lineman. He's been out the entire spring with a foot injury.
Yeah. Yep. So and so right tackle is going to be a spot to I think fans can keep an eye on. I think Tony Nelson seems to have solidified the right guard. I don't know. I think that he kind of maybe late in the year won that job last year. You know, obviously there'll be some competition there. So I think offensive line is a position group I think I'll be watching. I don't think Anthony Smith will probably play, right?
Maybe, I would imagine.
Maybe a series or two
I'd
he's
surprised.
Been dominant, it looks like, the three times we've watched him.
He's been just frankly unblockable for
minutes. Which is good news.
Yeah.
I hope it's because he's so good. I hope it's not because there's a lack of skill at the tackle spots.
I think multiple things can and will be true to an extent. But
So offensive line play. I think I'm interested in the defensive backfield, the other corner spots. You know, I think Aiden West is zeroing in on that, but they have some other good players.
Yeah, they do.
There that they like. I think at a situation with Naeem Parrish, right? The last practice we were at had a pick six in that practice.
He did.
Who else am I forgetting?
Mike Gerrell, Naeem
Parrish. Thank you. Mike Gerrell's the other guy. Yep. I think those three will be there. Maybe there's some slot action for one of those guys at times. Mm-hmm. Garrison Monroe seems to be stepping into a particular role there, possibly at safety. Aiden Gooseby hasn't practiced here.
Recovering from off-season cleanup.
And it'll be interesting to see what their plan is with him because he was pretty good at corner when he got that chance last year too.
I was banging that drum all November when we got to see him finally play there because he was a high school corner, converted to safety. And now because they had Coy Parrish and Kerry Brown last year, they moved him to corner towards the end of the season with all those injuries.
Yeah.
I still think there is probably a couple hundred snaps at both positions available for him, but we'll find out come fall camp.
He's one of those guys that I've kind of had fun watching because, let's face it, he, like a lot of freshmen, was okay, right? He had some growing pains. We all do when we're young. And now he's emerged into a guy that is going to be on the field. Like if he's healthy, he's going to play someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He is. He just is. And probably most every down, you know, whether that means – like last year when they were really in their deal, it was Parrish and Gooseby at safety, and Kerry Brown kind of played that
– down in the box
The nickel, whatever you want to call it, you know, super hybrid guy, whatever.
The Jack Henderson type of player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although they weren't – they're not really similar players. It was the same position.
Correct.
Yeah. And so Gooseby is going to be a factor somehow. And there'll be others, Garrison. Like I said, Monroe, Zach
Harden.
Harden is going to be, I think, involved. Man, he's got great size.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks really confident now.
Doesn't look like a second-year player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like last year, you could tell he was – timid's not the right word. Football, if you're timid, you stand out. He didn't stand out as a guy who was lost or anything. But he's just playing with with confidence. I tell this a lot. My favorite, maybe in Gopher football, my favorite emergence of a guy was Newbin, Tyler Newbin, who was highly recruited.
Sure. Yep.
Came in, was good. Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly special teams as a freshman because a guy named Antoine Winfield and
I hear he's
others
pretty good.
Were there. He was pretty good. And then as a sophomore, we're like, okay, this is his time to shine. Okay year.
Took some lumps.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, well, maybe, you know, what have you. And then his junior year, I remember either spring ball or fall camp. Can't remember exactly. I remember him walking out at it was either a scrimmage or a practice at Huntington Bank Stadium. And I'm like, he walks different. Like legitimately. Like, yeah. He's just carrying himself different. Mm-hmm. And you see a kid who comes in highly recruited, learns as a special teams guy, is in on a lot of coverage tackles, and you're like, this kid's got a great future. And then is all right. I've told Tyler this. He probably is offended that I told him. I'm like, as a sophomore, I thought you were fine. But I'll be honest. I thought, man, this guy was highly recruited. They're going to need more out of him. And then as a junior, you just walked out of the tunnel. I'm like, holy crap, this guy is a totally different player,
yeah.
And played like it.
Right.
And then he was really good his senior year as well, and is consequently, what was he, a second-round pick, right?
Yes,
and,
he was.
And he's a starter in the
Giants.
NFL now. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is one of my favorite stories because it just – the guy, he didn't change, but mm-hmm. he changed,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. He was still the same guy, but mm-hmm. he changed. His whole – demeanor, like literally the way he handled and walked changed, and then that carried over to how he played. And he was the boss when he was out there. The defense, there was no doubt who the leader of that defense was and who the guy wearing the cowbell was, and it was him.
Yeah, there's been a lot of consternation about the offensive line. We spent all last season talking about
them,
and now they got to replace a couple of starters on the right side. Their best offensive lineman, Greg Johnson, hasn't been playing because he's going to be he is currently recovering from some off-season foot surgery. But that's where I guess the approach that I like that they've taken with that offensive line, Grimmer, is they have to go against Anthony Smith. They have to go against Carter Mens, who I think specifically from Big Ten play on played like one of the best pass rushers, especially for his age, that we've seen at Minnesota in some time. Plus they have TJ Bush, who they added from the portal, who I can pretty definitively say has been a very good player wherever he's played,
looking good
and
too.
That step up from the ACC to the Big Ten looks like it. Now, the point I'm going to make here is they haven't been giving their tackles a lot of help, whereas if this was a Saturday and Mike Grimm's preparing for it, he'd be watching a running back or a tight end chip Anthony Smith, TJ Bush, Carter Mens, whoever it may be. And that's where I'm glad that they're letting these kids take their lumps, because that's the only way you're going to get better at this stage of the spring, is the results don't matter.
Yep, they do not.
Whatever the score is, I mean, I watched a couple different spring games over the weekend where one was like 40-38, and then Michigan, they set back the entire forward pass where it was about 6-3. Now, I would anticipate the Minnesota spring game being more vanilla than Dairy Queen soft serve.
Yeah.
And knowing that how the head coach likes to play these things, you're going to say inside out and inside zone, outside zone, very little. Like, it's going to be very, very bland. I want to get that out there right now. But I'm glad that even in 2026, where, again, everybody wants immediate gratification, us included, with very different things in life, it's let these kids take their lumps. We're at right tackle. You mentioned it's the Tennessee transfer, Bennett Warren, or it's going to be the young man, the redshirt freshman, DJ Shipp. Well, guess what? They're welcome to the Big Ten moment where it's, okay, I know I'm actually pushing for playing time. Is every single snap, it's TJ Bush, Carter Mens, or it's Anthony Smith. And, oh, by the way, Greg Harbaugh is not going to help you because his offensive line coach needs to figure this thing out. And whether Anthony plays or not, again, that is one of the things I'm at least glad about, where it's easy to say, well, they're just going to derail the entire practice. And we've seen that at times where – again, they could be trying to do 1st and 10, and Anthony just destroys someone. Well, Fleck's going to say, okay, 2nd and 7. Again, you have a schedule to practice, but I guess with me long-winded trying to say, I'm glad they've at least taken the approach when we've been there, at least, of they've got to get better. And yes, if it's September, we'd help them, but in April, you're going to line up every day across from these potential all Big Ten players, and you're going to take it on the chin.
And eventually, if you're able to handle Anthony Smith, then you can handle anybody, and you don't need to help. I mean, think how much different the offense looks if they don't have to help.
Oh, it'd be very, very nice.
So there's that as well. And And what was it PJ said? Because I'm too old to know what he was talking about. You can dodge a wrench. Was that from?
It's from the movie Dodgeball, which is a Ben Stiller classic. Luke, you've seen Dodgeball.
Yeah, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah, and so that's what PJ's point was. If you can block Anthony Smith, you can block anybody. You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Right.
Yeah. And that was PJ's. But I have seen Dodgeball, but it's been a while. That has to be what? That had to come out in 23 years ago, right? Early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, it's a while ago,
but,
for sure.
I'll have to maybe rewatch that. But anyway, I thought that probably was where it was from, but I wasn't sure. But
you're right.
In essence, that was what he was saying. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If you can block Anthony Smith, you can block anybody.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're doing. They're trying to have him dodge a wrench. And then when the ball is there to be dodged, it'll be easier.
Yeah, or even, say, running back, where we all know when Darius Taylor plays, Darius Taylor is an All Big Ten caliber player. It's even interesting, and you had it, you were standing there with me as Mo was talking, where it's with Darius Taylor. We're not going to see him on Saturday, but one of the biggest things that he and Greg Harbaugh have been trying to instill in him is physicality, where Mo talked about how in his room now they have a poster on the wall that says 4 + 4 + 4 equals first down, which in this offense, too many times has it been the running back gets the carry, and it's not perfect, so he tries to bounce it and doesn't get anywhere, whereas his position coach now is the king of the three-yard run that he turns into seven, the negative one that he turns into three, and just being able to see if some of these younger guys like Xavier Ford, Grant Washington, Jaron Thomas, whoever it may be, can give them something, because RB2, A.J. Turner, he's not going to be playing. He's recovering from ACL. The Elon transfer, T.J. Thomas, we just started to see him. Yep. He took a middle screen about 60 yards at practice the other day. I know some of our listeners are thinking to themselves, Greg Harbaugh knows how to call a middle screen? Well, he doesn't in an April practice, and I think that you're going to see that be implemented maybe a little bit more here this fall. There's just so many things where, the score doesn't necessarily matter, but Fleck and his staff talk about this all the time, and I agree, where it's position battles aren't won in the spring here. Now you position yourselves to where they're going to make a depth chart come Sunday and Monday, or there's going to be a depth chart going into their player draft Thursday night. But it's something to where the results, in however good or however bad it looks, I don't want everybody to take away a ton from the spring game, because they also have to remember it's one practice of 15 that they get. They're always trying to work on something. Yeah. And when you're not going to have, when you have a head coach whose philosophy is, we don't want to put anything on tape that they're worried about, say in September, that Mississippi State or Washington will see, things that they've been working on that we've seen in practices, we're not going to see on Saturday.
And we probably, I think we'll see the kickers, but I don't think we'll see them in like any type of, I mean, they'll try to create a pressure type situation.
They will.
Punters. Yeah. I think in recent years they've punted and then just caught it, but those are, I think, some key aspects for next fall when
Absolutely.
The real stuff happens. Who's going to be the kicker, and will they be a weapon enough to be a positive? Because when
or can they just make 40-yard field goals? Because again, Arizona only made two of them last year.
But when Kesich was having his real good year, and I still think he was better in 24 than people want to say. Like his misses were
a lot of them were from distance. Well, were from which distance. A Gopher staff member reminded me about it that Tuesday practice.
100%. And they didn't. They were close misses. And I still believe, was it at Michigan? There was one field goal that to me looked good. Like I think it went
over the upright.
I think it was on the end. It was anyway. Whatever. Even if you got Kesich 24 year, that's a step up from what they got last year.
Absolutely.
But it's such a weapon, and I think both these kids have big legs. It is a weapon. When you hit the 35-yard line, to know you're feeling comfortable with at least a chance to score.
Yeah, score.
And as you move in. Yeah. And I will also say, and this is not a knock on anyone, 4 + 4 + 4 is great.
Yeah.
But to be really good, mix in a plus 40.
Absolutely.
Oh, mix in a plus 26.
That's always been PJ's Achilles heel.
Mix in a plus 28. Mix in a plus 65. They did a couple of times, and it changed the games. The Nebraska game was a long run that changed the game.
Well, shoot,
what was the long Jalen Smith?
Even think about the Wrigley Field game where Drake almost threw for 300. Yep. There was the Coy Parrish kick return in that game, which brought him inside the 10.
Exactly.
Crazy how you can put up 30-plus points when you actually, A, take shots down the field. Because and that's the funny part about where you're going with this, or at least I'm going to take the wheel from you here, is because the defense was so horrific in that game, that allowed or gave Greg Harbaugh the ability to say, all right, well,
we got
to
go.
We got to keep pace here, which, again, I think back to that 2019 season, which I think one of the under-talked about parts is That was the best offense they had in the Fleck era so far. Well, the defense also, there were some big games where they weren't very good at all.
Yeah.
So in the headset, you had to be like, for Kirk Sciarrocca at the time, you better keep the gas on the foot.
Yeah.
Like, the foot on the foot's got to be on the gas here now. It helps when you have Bateman and Johnson and Moe and
for sure.
all these guys. But
if you have a fatal flaw, though, in PJ's approaches, is he hasn't found a way consistently to win different types of games, right? It was either we're going to win it one way stylistically. What he needs to be able to do is he needs to be able to find, okay, this is going to be a shootout. We got to win the shootout. And then the next week go and be like, we got to win a game, you know, 12-9.
Right.
You know?
And he's talked about that when he's asked about balance. His answer is always, well, balance doesn't mean 50-50. Like if you have 400 yards, it doesn't mean I want 200 yards passing, I want 200 yards rushing. He says, if the game requires it to be a shootout, we'll throw for 400. If it requires it to be a meat grinder, we'll run it for 400. And I think that's right. You have to have the ability to do both. I'm not here to cast scones because I've coached zero games
you
in my life.
You already threw one across the bow of the table here to me, young man. What do you
well,
mean?
Yeah, because you know I don't need you to be on my good side like I do the head coach. No, I would say that the if there is one thing maybe. It, again, easy for me to say as the radio guy. My livelihood specific doesn't depend on wins and losses the way the coaching staff does. But I do think the aversion to risk is fine. But sometimes you have to say, F it, and we got to do something.
So you can go into, as Luke said, and I even think about that North Carolina game at home.
Oh, where, man, whoever gets a 21st is going to win game?
Yes, where it was one of the – it was where Brad Johnson's kid gets hurt. And it was clear that North Carolina didn't really have a guy who could complete a forward pass. It was Max Brosmer's first game. He was dealing with the jitters. There was a weather delay, yada, yada. But then he came in post-game and talked about, well, it was first one to 20 wins. And I'm thinking to myself, if you could have just – if you would have approached it where it was, okay, we got to score 25 to 30, you would have blown them out.
Yeah.
But because of – but yes. And that's one of the things that all three of us will be watching here. Because you look at the schedule early on, it's going to be Mississippi State in game two. They're an SEC team, first team in my lifetime, your lifetime, that's come up to Minneapolis and played, or even going out to Washington, where Luke's favorite Huskies have lost, I think, three games in Seattle in five years.
That is a loud stadium.
Yeah.
That is a loud – that might be the loudest in the country. Yeah. So that will be a real challenge to open. That's an opener, right? Big Ten opener.
That's a Big Ten opener.
It is the Big Ten opener. Yeah.
Seattle, great place to go. That'll be a that might be the trip of the year for the Gopher road trippers, right?
I would imagine that.
That might be where most people want to go out to
Have
Seattle.
You already rented your sailboat to go sailgating at least the day before?
Ironically, I have a cousin who actually does own a sailboat in Seattle, which I was on
this
a couple
is good
of years ago.
7 degrees of Michael Grimm.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I'll actually be out there. So my cousin's daughter's getting married late next month in Seattle, and we'll probably be right on the waterfront for that wedding. It'll be fun.
I'll give you some recommendations off air of things to go check out, some food.
Seattle's
and
great.
Yeah, awesome.
No doubt. We were out there for Gophers, Washington, and basketball on Valentine's
Day. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I've been out there a few times. But anyway, it so back to way back, because we do go on tangents. I think the kicker.
Yeah,
the punter was great last year.
Tom Weston.
Return game is now wide open, right? Coy Parrish had both punting and return and kick
and
returns.
And we even asked Daniel DiPrato after, and I'm sure you did as well, where it was, well, what do you think? And he's talking about how, well, I don't know that we have all the bodies there.
Yeah.
And I think he's talking about guys like Ryan Estrada, Braden Stevens, others.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very much open for a return game that has lacked –
And the spring game won't, you know, even if they do allow guys, you're just not going to find much out about that. But I do think that'll be a key to next season and others. You know, there'll be some other keys as well. You know, you mentioned the Gopher defense last year was pretty interesting because you're right. They didn't stop Northwestern at all in that second half, which was crazy. And the one time they did stop them, they had a penalty which extended the drive, and they ended up scoring again.
So
but yet,
brutal.
They played so well in the bowl game.
Yep.
They played really well in, like, the first half of the Michigan State game, and then the backup gets put in. And sometimes that's hard because you didn't prepare for that guy. And then you couldn't stop him for a second. I think that will be a key this year is a little more consistency. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll get it. I do. I, I I like Danny Collins. I really do. I know people have said,
like,
oh,
you
he's
stopped
young.
Yourself and said, I'm sorry. Well, because
people don't want to give him a chance. Like, I see, you know, like the message board world or whatever, the Twitterverse or what have you, you know, oh, this and that. And they should have gone and got an experienced coordinator like Norm Parker or like Phil Parker, who took over for Norm Parker. And I wanted to say, well, you realize Phil Parker had the exact same experience as Danny Collins when he took over for Norm Parker.
Sure.
And wasn't very good in year one. They were under 500 in Phil Parker's first year. Now he's the best coordinator in football, in college football. So sometimes you got to let a guy get into the position for a little bit. And I thought there were times last year we had great game plans. There were others where the
home
novice
road splits.
Like me would look and say, yeah. I'm not sure what they were thinking on that play. And I'm sure he's second-guessed some things. I think they'll be more consistent. I think he'll feel more comfortable. I just like his style. I think the guys like him. I think the guys like him and play hard for him. So I think that will be one area you'll see a jump here. And they weren't awful. They had a couple awful halves and
their
a couple awful games.
Their home road splits from when they played at home in the bowl game were very good. They were at home or in the bowl game. And then
now,
when
some
they
of
went
that
out,
is schedule-wise. Well, they're at Oregon, they're at Ohio State, they're at Iowa.
And then they were flammable pass defense on the road.
Yeah.
Where I've said this on Gopher Illustrated. I have expectations for this defense. I think it has the ability to be one of their most talented defenses when you look at the amount of senior or at least veteran-laden talent between Anthony Smith,
Agreed.
T.J. Bush, Maverick Baranowski, Kerry Brown, John Nestor. I mean, I've named right there, and we haven't even put Carter Menz into that conversation, potentially five, if not six, all Big Ten players on this defense if it breaks right now. I think all of us following Gopher sports for the last however many decades, no, it's likely not to, but there should be expectations for this defense to me, especially if they can shore up some of the things, and that's where the area I'll be watching is defensive tackle, where they graduated all four. And now it's going to be, I know from watching it here this spring, you've got the third-year kid from Kindred, North Dakota, and Riley Sunrum. They like what he's done. He's trimmed down his body now to 305. You've got the Marshall transfer, Naquan Crowder. Jalen
Hicks. He's number 70, right?
Correct, number 70. You got number 55, Jalen Hicks, who played some last year. They're hopeful he can play some more, and then they'll get some more bodies back here in fall camp with Theo Randall, who unfortunately for most of his tenure has been in a boot or an orange jersey, where when healthy, you talk to people behind the scenes that think he can help, or even the kid from Florida International that they took from the portal in Zion Chapman. But it's, how does defensive tackle look? Because,
right.
Oh, by the way, you're going to be giving thousands of new snaps to guys who didn't get it last year.
Yeah, that's probably right. I mean, aside from O-line, D-line, the middle of the D-line
is probably the
next question.
Yeah, outside of kicker, probably.
But I think in spring it's looked pretty good. I asked if it was 70 because I'll know his name by Saturday, but it's number 70, the D tackle.
Yeah, Naquan Crowder.
Thank you.
Yep.
The Marshall transfer, when I watched him on two of the practices, I paid attention because he stuck out for two reasons. One, quite frankly, I'm like, interesting, because he's not tall, he's not imposing.
No.
And he doesn't, I don't want to say he doesn't look like a football player, he does, so don't take that the wrong way, but you're like, okay. And then you watch him play, he was in the backfield all the time.
Yep.
Like, so I think he's going to be a factor, and we'll keep an eye on him for sure.
Absolutely. And again, last thing I guess I would say is receiver two, where four of the six guys from last year, they're gone. New position coach, Isaac Frickte in, again, son of legendary Caledonia's own, speaking about State Minnesota. We consider Caledonia, Minnesota, outstate, yeah?
Yes.
Look,
you think it's a suburb or what?
Well, I want to make sure here that, again, there's a lot of different.
That's almost Iowa there, brother.
Yeah. All right, let's maybe just close up with, you have a unique perspective, Mike, the fact that, you know, you've traveled a good amount of the state, they had these road shows, weren't they?
They used to do a road, they called it the Coach's Caravan for a while,
Yeah,
then they called it the Gopher Road Trip for a while.
Yeah.
One of my very first duties here was to go help MC those things and it's fun because the coaches it's their one chance to kind of get together and hang out too, because as you know, once the season starts, you're buried in your own depth charts and your own practice plans, no matter what the sport is, football, hockey, what have you. So in the summer, it gives these coaches a chance to kind of interact a little more than they would just around the office. And in some cases, like the hockey offices are over at Mariucci, so there's not they don't get over to Bierman that much to see.
Yeah, they never see,
see everybody. So yeah. I'm not saying they're total outcasts, but to see on those road trips and to watch Motzko and Lucia over the years interact with whoever it was, Tim Brewster, PJ Fleck, you know, all those coaches was kind of fun. And it actually helped me get to know a lot of the coaches on a better basis so that when it was time to go do an interview for them, whether it was on a podcast or the daily update, which I put together, for each day. I know it airs here locally in the Twin Cities, at, like just before 2 o'clock on KFAN and around the state, whenever our affiliates play it. But if I have to go do a soccer interview, I can go in and they know who it is. But those were awesome. This is my impression. Coaches could, if you gave them a little shot of truth through them, we'll find out. I think coaches grumbled about it. We got to go.
It's a hike,
and it's a commitment, and they're busy, and you know, another thing that takes them away from their family or their point of doing it. But I do think this, if you gave them the truth through them, they'll grumble about it. But when they hit the bus and they hit the city limits and they head out of town, and then when they get to these spots in the outstate and everyone tells them how great they are, and some of the metro negativity is not available in the outstate, I think they're like, this ain't bad.
So let's talk about the differences there. I have the unique perspective of I grew up outstate, right? I didn't grow up here in the metro. I moved to the metro for college, and then now have lived here basically for that entire duration. But I get back out quite often. My folks still live outstate. And, you know, and have been in and around the entire state. And, you know, because of the podcast, you'll randomly run into someone that will be like, hey, do you do that Gopher podcast?
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it feels like there are more people outstate. But just knowing the community that I grew up in and getting around and getting to know other people who are outstate, it's really incredible just to be able to notice those differences. Now, numbers-wise, rural areas do not have the number of people. Right. But I'd say on a per capita basis, it feels like there are more Gopher fans. There's more Gopher apparel. You here in the Twin Cities, obviously you have a lot of Fortune 500 companies. You have a lot of people coming from outside of the state to move into the metro. So maybe you don't see as much Gopher apparel, but even though they're, you know, on a per capita basis.
Right.
You know, that's not the case, but there's so many more people. But what's your perspective, having, you know, one, being a guy from Iowa, being the voice of the Gophers, what's your perspective of the not to pit them against each other, but what are just some observations?
Yeah, they're different. I do think it's different. Now, that said, we haven't done one. I think COVID was another one of these. This is a casualty of COVID. I don't think we've done one for 4 or 5 years
in terms of doing
a full-blown, take a whole coaching staff out. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think COVID did it in for a couple of years. And then nowadays, that was an expense, right? You had to go out. You had to rent a bus. You had to rent a bunch of hotel rooms. It was usually a one- or two-night overnight. And then cater in food, rent a place sometimes. I mean, so I think in this day and age of every free penny that you find in the seat cushion having to go to help, to revenue share or what have you, I think that was part of it as well. I don't think it was anything like, oh, they're not important or we don't care about those people. I don't think that was the case. I just think it was for varying reasons we haven't done one. So my perspective would be the prior to COVID, these road trips we take annually. Yeah. I do think there's some truth in that the outstate. I think there's diehards in Minnesota. I think there's more or in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I think there's more coverage as well in Minneapolis, St. Paul. But I think the rural or outstate folks appreciated the fact that this group of coaches took the time to come see him. They just appreciated it. They then, in return, would go up to the coaches and say, hey, awesome, great job. Hey, I was at this game. I come to one game a year maybe. Or maybe I don't come to any, but I watch you on TV or whatever. So I think there was an appreciation out there that the coaches appreciated that maybe they don't always get here. And let's face it, in the Twin Cities, it's a two-newspaper market. There's now social media. There's now message boards. There's talk radio. For a while in that time, there were two stations doing sports talk radio, and everyone's trying to outdo the other. There's columnists that enjoy stirring the pot a little bit, and that's their job. That's not a knock on them at all. And so there is a certain, I think, tone that sometimes isn't, and I'm not suggesting that it shouldn't, that it all should be, you know, hunky-dory. Like, the Gophers have brought a lot of criticism upon themselves, either through how they've handled certain things or how they've played or whatever. That's fine. Sometimes I do question the criticism's intent. Like, if you want to pick on why the Gophers are terrible in the red zone, let's break that down. But just to say, well, PJ's a fraud, come on. Like you don't know that. Like, if you don't like his style, fine. You know, if you want to be serious about the criticism, then let's pick some real serious stuff. People who are around the program, is he for everybody? He even says he's not for everybody. But is he who he is? 100%. He's probably, of all the coaches in all my time, he is exactly who he is almost all the time. Right? I mean, he is who he is. Again, not for everybody. And
five
if you don't
Red
like that
Bulls
shtick,
all the
fine.
Time.
Yep. But if it ends up, if he ends up taking this place to new heights in his second decade compared to now his first decade, which has been pretty darn good relative to history, mm-hmm. it will be because he is committed to this and he's not in any way a fraud or a phony or whatever people want to say. If it ends up that it doesn't go, he won't have not continued on because he was a fraud or phony. He has poured every, like it's the opposite. Like, he does more than most coaches, right? He requires more of his staff. He requires more of his players in the certain culture that he likes. So if you were really a phony, you'd slap up these slogans and then do nothing about it. But he's the opposite. He's requiring more. So I love the guy, and I think people should feel pretty good about who's in charge of the thing. Does that mean you have to agree with everything? I don't. Burnsy doesn't. But I also think that, by and large, what he's been able to accomplish here has been pretty impressive. So that's a long way of saying sometimes I think the criticism, I wish people followed it closer. Like in a Vikings town, I get it. That's the number one team, the Twins, the Wild, whatever. Right now we're going through the playoffs and hope those teams do great. Mm-hmm. My other side of the Learfield deal with Minnesota News Network, I'm following those teams and doing sportscast on that and doing all of that. But so the Gophers get a little loss, so all of a sudden they become an easier target, I think, for just to stir the pot kind of stuff. And then a lot of the pot stirrers will say, oh, no fan base is more thin-skinned than the Gophers. Well, yeah, because you haven't really given it a high intellect in terms of how you're stirring the pot here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dive in. Like, can you name five starters?
Yeah.
I doubt it, but we're supposed to, you know, anyway, that's my sidebar to it all. I'm not saying they shouldn't be criticized. They bring a lot of it on. But let's
criticize them more than anyone,
exactly.
Probably.
But let's at least be intellectually honest about how we're going to do it. Anyway, that's my deal on that.
I think that's a heck of a Jock Jones walk-off.
Yeah, right there. That was good. Grimm.
That's a mic drop. That's Lou Ford going back to left there. I don't know. Look, if we wanted to actually go off on a tangent, we could spend 20 minutes talking about the Minnesota Twins, but that isn't this podcast.
Yeah, that isn't this podcast. So, no, Mike, this was super fun. We appreciate you taking the time.
We're very grateful.
Yeah, that was awesome. I enjoyed it.
It's really, really good
time.
We're
done already?
Yeah, I mean,
sure, it's been over an hour.
We're an hour and 20 minutes so far.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. I'm sure we'll do it again I hope that Justin Gard made it all the way to the end of this podcast in his preparation for the game, because I hope he takes his job seriously, as you would like to
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
Does he have a lot of jobs? Not sure.
He has some. He has some.
Well, we can quit.
I just like the idea of him scrolling the feed or scrolling his phone and seeing the feed fill with this episode, and then it says Mike Grimm.
Yeah.
And it's like Mike Grimm's spring game preview or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, dang it.
Yeah.
It's so
no doubt
of you.
All right.
And we'll go ahead.
We'll see what kind of assignment I can give him just to annoy him on Saturday.
So what time are you guys hitting the air Saturday?
So we're on right at 11, and we're not sure of the schedule. I think they'll have a couple of minutes of warm. We won't do a full pregame like normal, and then whenever it wraps up, as I like to say, it's either the first 2 hours of the spring game or whenever it's done. So if the spring game goes 2.5 hours, there's a chance we'll sign off before it's over. If it goes 90 minutes, we'll sign off after 90 minutes, and we'll go from there. And also, when I do these long-form things, I do also just want to blanket apologize. If I've offended anybody, I'm sorry.
I will just say, the long form is the more authentic form,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And yes, we all as humans make mistakes. Yeah. So I'm sure nothing was intentional, but I appreciate your blanket apology in advance. So,
And then our listeners get double the trouble because we'll be back next week. As we said, I haven't told him yet, but Daniel House will be joining us.
Okay.
We'll get the house call.
Yeah, it'll be a house call as we get real deep into the weeds.
He's the best. He's awesome.
He's great.
Of everything we learned from the spring, but we're very grateful to Grim and his time. And
yeah, for sure.
And I hope a lot of us, as we talked about on this podcast, is just building a sense of community where you've heard Grim's voice for decades now.
Yep.
Now you get to know a little bit more of the man, and maybe one next episode we do with him, we can talk Guns N' Roses and
Rudy's
hair metal.
Yeah, I'm in on that. Yeah. Let's
all right. Well, that's good. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening, and go Gophers.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.